This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Everybody, it's Wednesday, and we're back here live on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Hour 13. Just kidding, Glenn. Oh, poor Glenn. He's a mess. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 30th, episode 1577. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I love these little holiday bumpers you make. That's so great. Speaking of antidepressants, did you survive? Did you and Jennifer make it?
We made it. You know, yesterday I forgot from last year that the day after for us is a lot of hard work because we have to get 12 hours of shows produced, edited, all the website work done, and get them out because you have to get them out right away so people can listen, right? And so, yeah, that's like doing 12 shows in one day. And
that's like homework.
It is.
That sucks.
That was what it was, too. It was all day. I kept saying to Jennifer, you better be proud of me. I'm like focused. I am getting this done. But then the adrenaline stopped when I got it done. And now today it's like, ugh. And
crashing.
Then our stupid ponies last night, I don't know what was going on there. But our paddocks are set up. They're separated, but they're beside each other. So they have a common fence, and they're surrounding the house. So if they get carrying on, we can hear it. Well, what, 1 a.m, I hear this carrying on, and they're running at full tilt. And then I peek out the window, and Scooter is just running the fence and trying to jump over it to get to Nigel, and Nigel's running the fence. And I said, Jennifer, maybe we ought to do something. And of course, Jennifer's sound asleep like she always is, and not wanting to get up. And she said, just let them figure it out. And I'm like, but they're... And then Scooter came over and tanked up, got a minute worth of water, and started running again. And I finally said, look, I really think we should do something about this. And she went, rah, rah, rah. And then she gets out of bed, and we go out and get them and bring them in, and then walk them for 15 minutes, because they're all huffing and puffing. I don't know what got... I don't know if there was, like, a coyote out there, or... Sometimes here, you guys probably have this occasionally too, they lay down on a fire ant's nest, and then they'll get up and they'll just be going crazy because they have 1,000 fire ants biting them, and they just run and run and run, and then the others get running. And so I don't know what was going on. They're fine, but then Jennifer gets right back to sleep, and I'm up for like 3 hours trying to get back to sleep.
Of course. Of course. Our paddocks are around our house as well, and you are a good daddy, number one, because me, I can't have them just run out there running either. I'm the same way as you. I'm like, there's a reason they're running. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to need a vet. Let's get them in. And now Chad has actually learned not to argue. Just go. Just do it. Whatever you need to do, let's do it. Get it over with. I just had the experience where the Mustangs were just going crazy out in their field, just galloping like crazy. And I went outside. I'm like, why are you guys galloping? And I walked around the corner, and the neighborhood children from the house next door are like literally trying to rope them from their side of the fence. Are like
really?
Throwing ropes at them. Yes. And the boy, and
Isn't
I was
night?
Like, no, it was yesterday morning before I brought him in. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like that. I'm that neighbor who's like, damn, get off kids, my lawn. Get off my lawn. Turn your music down.
I need to get that bumper. I need to get that sound file. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn and turn your music down and don't drive so fast. Wear your seat. Like I'm that guy for sure. That girl, shocker. So yeah, I understand. And then of course, yeah, there's the ensuing walking, hand walking them, cool them out for the next 20 minutes. So good job. Good job, Daddy. We're getting him in. Sorry, that mess of a wife.
Our house.
I know. And that mess of a wife of yours just crawls back into bed and starts sawing logs again.
Oh, here we go.
Get off my lawn.
Did you have your shotgun up at the time?
Get off my lawn.
Nobody can say it like Clint. Clint was certainly one of a kind.
We just watched The Great Escape. Chad and I did. Amazing. Amazing. Anyway, side note, he is amazing. All right. So let's talk to Jennifer, see what's coming up on today's show, and then we got to get back into it. Jennifer.
Coming up on today's post-radiothon equine adventure, we are joined by equestrian entrepreneur Ashley Godwin. And then we're going to enjoy an uncut version of Jamie's Gallop Down Memory Lane with none other than Christian Busch. And then after the break, Tom's going to stop by and he's going to review the myriad of holiday shopping deals going on over at horselovers.com. And by special listener request, he's going to have a complete list of all the different promo codes. Yeah, so stay tuned for the price, folks.
Confusing people the other day, and I asked him if he'd come on and clarify it for us, because they have some great promos. All right. Well, before we get into our daily winnies, I wanted to talk about the fires that are happening. First of all, there's blizzards going on in the north. And then we have the fires that are happening in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee area, which is in the mountains Dollywood and Dolly Parton grew up and Sevier and all of that. And this is very close to where Leslie Wiley lives. And Jennifer and I have vacationed in cabins, which are now gone, by the way, have vacationed in cabins in the mountains of Tennessee many, many times with friends and relatives. It's one of our favorite places to go is Gatlinburg. It's like the beach in the mountains. It's kind of very touristy. And of course, it's fun and that you can get a cabin for affordable prices. And it's just a great place to go. And the fires there have been incredible. They've lost 100 buildings in and around Gatlinburg. It hasn't hit the downtown yet, but it's all around it. They've evacuated Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. They have had to close Dollywood. The fire was right up to Dollywood. And Dollywood just went under major renovations and did a whole bunch of new rides and all that kind of stuff. It's just the forest around there is absolutely beautiful and it's just being destroyed. There's hundreds of homes. There's three people that have died getting caught in the flames trying to get out. Well, the problem was, and you say, well, why didn't they get out sooner? Is the day that the flames spread so fast, the winds kicked up to 90 miles an hour, hurricane force. So it blew the fire at a record rate. I mean, it was just descending on you before you could do anything. That's why there were people stuck in hotels because it spread so fast. You know, we love that area so much. My brother was scheduled to go there today, and he sent me a picture of the hotel, and the hotel he was going to be staying at this week was completely surrounded in flames. I mean, it was just surrounded. Now, they have had a lot of rain the last 2 days, and that's helping get the fires down a bit. So let's keep praying that they get more and more rain today, and that helps with the fires. It's just devastating, and I feel it because it's such a special place to us. Leslie Wiley did an article on it. Get this. Leslie's not going to talk to us anymore. She's never going to be on a Monday again because she had a byline in an article in the Washington Post.
What? I'm sorry. When did she become a legitimate writer?
I don't know. I have to talk to her Monday. A Washington Post, this is people were basically running for their lives, at least three dead, as fire engulfs Tennessee towns by Leslie Wiley. So,
unreal.
I know. She's like, getting paid the big bucks now. So we'll have to ask her about that. I don't know. Leslie is she loves Dollywood. She loves everything. She grew up, you know, she lives in the Tennessee mountains. She lives in that area. So that's where she grew up. And, you know, she loves that area like so many of us do. So, anyway, we're thinking about
that's where Christian's from too. Oddly enough, who's going to be on the show?
Oh yes, he was from the mountains in that area where Dolly grew up. That's where he was from. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's affecting everybody. I mean, being from Georgia, I mean, that's where you go is you go to Tennessee in the mountains. I would go every fall. We would go up North Georgia, Southern Tennessee, and there's no more beautiful drive than the drive on 75 North through Tennessee between Georgia and Kentucky. And I've made that drive many, many times. So it is really heartbreaking for the people involved in that area and all the people that place is meant a lot to. It's really sad.
It is really sad. So we're thinking about you. We're also thinking about everybody that's snowed under in the Great North, and we have
something for bless you. Your hearts. That's even worse.
We have somebody. We have somebody on to help you out today. But first, we have to do our daily Winnies. My daily Winnie goes out, as you might expect, to everyone that was involved in Radiothon, the hosts, the sponsors, the listeners who sent in voicemails. We had 160 callers that day. So Jennifer, thank you, and Denise for keeping so busy taking all the callers all day long. And then the terrific guests we had. We had some absolutely wonderful guests. And one of those terrific guests was your husband. Now, I asked the auditors on the auditor page which guest they found their favorite. And of course, it was all over the board. But there was one person that won that honor, and I think it was because of my terrific interviewing skills, but it was your husband Chad. Seemed to be everybody's favorite, and I really think we should maybe Friday we'll play that interview on the show here. We've had requests for that, so if you want to listen to it, just go to the Horse Husbands hour 11. And I wanted to mention that too, all the hours are out. Go to horseradionetwork.com. You'll see a link to the recorded hours of the Radiothon. All 12 hours are broken up, so you can listen to them separately. They're out on all the feeds. They're under the Stable Scoop Show on iTunes or any of the podcast players, or they're under the All Shows, the Horse Radio Network All Shows feed. That feed also has all the episodes, so you can listen on your podcast players as well. I know many of you missed the whole day. We had a lot of live listeners, but I know many of you missed some hours. You can go back and listen right now.
Yeah, you mean they didn't listen to all 12?
There were some that did, and it's ironic that Jerry Johnson was kind of running the auditor's chat room and ended up winning. And that was not rigged, I'll have you know.
I told you, as soon as that happened, I called Glenn. I was like, that is total
Jerry
bull.
Johnson's kind of Jamie's nemesis in a friendly way, but he won. I went over to Wendy and looked over her shoulder, and sure enough, he was number 100.
It's not true. There's no way. That guy paid you something to win.
He did not pay. And you know what that means? It was started a tradition last year that we have to have the winner on Horses in the Morning. So, Jerry, you have to come on Friday morning. I didn't tell Jamie that yet.
No, I didn't. I didn't agree to anything like that. I do, however, want to play my husband's interview on Friday because it's not fair that I had to listen to that and not make a comment about it.
Well, you know, what's nice is I can start and stop it. So, you know, we can start and stop it and you can make comments as we go.
Perfect. All right. Perfect. So, I want it to play and then I want to have my microphone on so I can yell at him during.
Well, I did have a couple of listeners say I had to ask you this morning if you were still married or if he was sleeping on the couch. I thought he was very good.
Oh, he was. He was amazing. He said, because he didn't tell me anything about it. And he came afterwards. He goes, I was asked the single greatest question of all time during that interview. He was like, it didn't even matter what I answered because it was the best question. And it was one of our listeners that apparently had asked it. But he was like, which does Jamie have more of, chickens or saddle pads?
That was one of the listeners.
I mean, he's like, these people know you. It's like they're here. And I went, and so my student and I told her about it, Abby. And so we went out and we counted chickens versus saddle pads. And I'll have that answer for you on Friday.
Okay. You know, one of the nasty questions, the 60 Minutes questions, really was, which animal would you get rid of? Because no matter what he answered, he was in trouble. So
yeah, and he actually has an answer for that. And I'll tell you what the actual answer for that is on Friday. And he doesn't have to say it because I know. And he knew he would be in trouble. And he knew that actually he knew he would be in trouble with the listeners. So I will tell you the answer to that on Friday's show, okay, because I know the answer to that. And he and I have confirmed it, but he said he couldn't say
it. He answered that like a true military officer. He did.
He answered that like a politician.
Yeah, he did. All right, we have to get to your daily Winnie before we run out of time because this is important.
Okay. Speaking of listeners, oh my gosh, is everybody a family or what that listens to this show? And yes, especially the listeners that are Facebook friends. Facebook is, you know, it's a family too when you post personal things and people are supportive. And I thank everybody for being so incredibly supportive. I made an announcement on the show on Monday or on the radiothon.
Which
that
was
Chad,
the first time Jennifer and I had heard that. We weren't kidding. We hadn't heard.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Before.
No, I didn't tell anybody because it's weird. Like, so what the announcement is that Chad and I are adopting a child, and we are adopting a child from Ethiopia. We are very early in the process of the adoption, and we have our second home study is on Saturday. We've had to fill out a billion pages of paperwork. I mean, it's exhausting how much stuff we've had to do, but you just kind of do one thing at a time. You get it done. And we've had, when telling people that you're adopting a child, everybody's like, some people are like, wow, that's pretty difficult. And then I say, and it's from Ethiopia, and I have not always been met with supportive and encouraging words directly after that statement. And like I said, I got to say, you know, you guys know how Southern my daddy is. My daddy is absolutely super excited. Didn't care where it's come from. He wants another grandbaby. So it's not him. But I just had to clear that out because he is, you know, he's Southern. He's a big old Southern boy, and his girl's going to have a little Ethiopian baby. Like, life is crazy for him. But anyway, it was not him.
Daddy,
but
just loves grandkids.
Wants more grandbabies. Dear God, he's only got one.
Yeah.
He's 70 something. So anyway, so we announced that we were adopting from Ethiopia, and I posted it on my Facebook page. And let me see if I can get to it here. Can you see how many comments there are? It's overwhelmingly amazing how supportive people are being, and just the comments and the things that they're saying just make you just carry on. You know, it's just really, really, really incredible how many people have been super supportive. And I look at the number of comments, and there's like 120 comments, and I'm probably half of those are our listeners, Glenn.
I know.
It's incredible. So you were asking kind of where we are in the process.
I do have some questions I didn't get to ask the other day because obviously we were on Radiothon. We didn't time. So one is, why Ethiopia?
My heart has always been in international adoption from Africa. So when you are searching for adoption, we started local. We tried to do local. We talked about why the foster system doesn't really work for an emotional wreck like me. Because you can foster a child and then with the hopes of adopting, and then they take it. So it wasn't going to work for us. So we started looking internationally. And then looking at all the different countries that are out there, you also have to start kind of interviewing agencies, and you kind of need to find an agency that you like. And I found an agency, and they have about 8 countries that they deal with. And of those 8 countries, are you sitting down? We only qualified for 3 of the 8.
Well, what the hell do you have to do for the others?
You can't be divorced. You can't have a divorce. And Chad has a divorce.
Oh, you know, I always forget that he was married before. Okay.
Yeah. So no children, obviously. But yeah, so that actually took us out of the running for a lot of cases.
You can't have a divorce. That eliminates half the potential adopters in the world.
I know. It's unbelievably hard to do this. Okay. And from what I understand, we are just getting started in the difficulties. Because that's the other thing is, what was so nice about everybody saying nice things is that when you tell people that are doing this, and then there's people that have done it and or looked into it, they're like, oh my God, everybody has a nightmare story. I'm like, I don't want to hear any more nightmare stories. I'm going to do this, by God, whether you want it or not. So that's another thing that was really nice to hear, all the encouragement. But of the three that we qualified for, that this particular agency that we liked and hired works with, they were China, India, and Ethiopia. We qualified with another organization for like Bulgaria and a bunch of different countries. But with this agency, I really felt like I was ready to work with this, and it's International Adoption Network. And so we kind of both were like, okay, on the count of three, say what country of those three. And it's like one, two, three. And we both go, Ethiopia. So
now Chad has traveled around the world for his job. Has he been there?
No, he has never been to Africa, actually, as a continent at all. What's really cool is we have to travel there twice. What's not cool is the first time you go, you meet. So here's how it works, just to back up a little bit. We're doing all this paperwork, and then we're going to get put on a list. And we have submitted for a child that is between 2 and 5, male or female, doesn't matter. And there's even like, we've even said we would accept some issues, you know, some problems that we can, you know, help them with. So we put in for this child. And so once we get all this paperwork done and all the $25,000 that this is going to cost, put in, to it, then we get on a list, and when a child becomes available that is within the parameters of what we're looking for, they let us know. And then all that paperwork gets started. So we then go to Ethiopia. We will fly into Addis Ababa. And that is the capital of Ethiopia. For those who didn't know, I'm learning Addis Ababa. So you fly in there and then you meet your child. They make sure it's a match. And then you have to leave. And all the paperwork continues to get done. And then you go back and then you pick up your child. I can't imagine how heart-wrenching that's going to be. But it could be only, you could only be gone 2 weeks. Here's the bright spot is my husband, now the American Airlines pilot, American Airlines flies into Addis Ababa.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. So that's going to save a lot of money for us.
Yeah, like $10,000.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there like one flight a week into Isababula?
It's not direct. We will have to make some connections.
There's flights to there.
Phoenix to Ethiopia. Yeah. Here we go. 3 times a day. Yeah, no, it's not that. 17
hours later.
Exactly. And who flies to Ethiopia twice? Like, I mean, who flies there once,
but
much less twice?
Checking your passports at when you get back on. They've been to Ethiopia twice.
Oh my gosh, the amount of paperwork is absolutely incredible that we will have and have to do. And oh my gosh. So that whole thing could be when we finally get matched with a child, that could be a year to a year and a half down the road. So you guys, this is the very beginning of an extremely long process. I mean, this could be
I know you didn't want to have the whole pregnancy thing again, because once was enough for you for that. And that's how I knew the announcement wasn't that you were pregnant, because I knew we've talked off the air. I know that wasn't happening again. So this is like being pregnant for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no, like, you know, all the mess that comes with it. And the thing
you
is,
still get to ride, and you still fit your riding too,
right?
Yeah, I can still ride. Exactly. Not like I didn't anyway. But the worst, and I hate putting this on record, but I'm sorry. Having a baby, like being pregnant, sucks, but it's over. And in 9 months, and like the real worst of it was the last 4 months. So really, that's only 4 months of like absolutely awful. But the next 2 years where you have a child that like you can't even sit it down. You can't just be like, I'll be right back. I mean, it's like house arrest. Being under house arrest, with a baby.
That's why I asked you, you know, when you first said that, I think my first question to you the other day was, is it going to be a baby? Because I couldn't see that either.
I did the baby thing, and there's people, and I, God love you, that love babies and love having babies and love raising babies. That person was not me. And the good news is that there's a lot of older, you know, like 2 years old, they consider an older child because people want babies. So taking a child that's a little bit older like that, 2 to 5, is actually kind of more helpful and it may is, actually get
they,
us a child
don't
quicker.
Always get homes and then they end up in the system or the orphanage the whole time or nowhere. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the organization that we're working with deals with one particular orphanage in Addis Ababa. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I'm probably like Ethiopian listener.
Language barrier too when you get them, right?
Well, when you get there, one of the things they do is they provide you with a translator. And my mom was like, how are you? This baby's not even going to speak English. I'm like, Mom, it's going to be 2. It's not even going to speak. Like, we're okay. Like at 2, Lucas was like, Mama. So it's not like he was like this big talker.
You know what? And even up to the age of 5, they learn other languages incredibly quickly.
I know. There's many ways that people go, well, this is going to happen. I'm like, yeah, not a worry. I'm not really concerned about that. So, but yeah, the language barrier, when you get there, they have people that you have a translator. That's part of the deal with the part of what you pay for, you know.
Well, congratulations. I got to congratulate you the other day, but I'm really excited for you. And I know the listeners are too. And it's partly because we want to hear the stories. Do they have internet in Ishibab? What is that again?
Addis Ababa.
Do they have internet there? Because we want a live report. We need live reports from Africa. We haven't had that before. So.
I know it's a city. I cannot speak to the quality of Skype in Ethiopia, Glenn. Okay. So we may have to, I don't even know if I'll be able to
carrier
text.
Carrier pigeon.
I'll send up, I don't know. But just if you guys are the pray in type, pray that the government of Ethiopia and everything is, there's no wars break out and no anything like that happens anytime soon, because that really slows everything
when
down.
I looked at your map you posted this morning. You know, that's a dangerous part of the world. I mean, it's where all the wars are, where all the tribal lords are, and it's where all the pirates are that raid all the ships. This is a very dangerous part of the world.
And that's why it's amazing to be able to take a child out of that and provide it with a life that wouldn't even be close. I mean, like you said, Eritrea, Djibouti, the Yemen, Somalia, Kenya, Sudan, that's all around Ethiopia. And, you know, when I was young and they sang "We Are the World," that was for Ethiopia, right? You know? And so it's always been very close to me to be able to help. And I'm so excited that number one, I have the opportunity to do this. Number two, I have a husband that is super supportive of this whole, I mean, you know, if you were to ask him, he'd just have another baby.
Like, yeah, well, he wasn't going to have it.
He wants to have one. And so I'm like, you want another one? This is the way. And he was like, yes, let's do it. You know, I mean, he's all about it, but heading, you know, I think our connecting flight is going to be in Saudi Arabia. Like, what? That's crazy. So it's going to be an exciting adventure. And I'm glad that we have this radio show that we can carry on and let you guys know what's going on. And hopefully I'll have nothing too exciting to report. We're just going to go over there and get a kid and come back. It's going to be amazing. Right. Beautiful.
Well, congratulations to both of you. Well, let's take a break for we're going to go from talking about that to Stud Muffins. We're going to take a break for our terrific sponsor, Stud Muffins, for this show today. And then we're coming back to talk about a product that was a listener request that we talk about because it's made in the USA. And we love highlighting products like that. And it was also a listener request because Jamie's going to need to get some when she moves to Oklahoma. So,
my God, isn't that the truth?
So you better pay attention, Jamie. Plus, this particular owner of this company has a really neat connection that you're going to want to hear about with a certain racehorse.
All right.
Coming up on today's show.
holiday season, get the ultimate stocking stuffer for the horsey folks on your list with Stud Muffins Boot Socks. Choose from a multitude of bright, fun designs that celebrate the special relationship we have with our horses. And every pair of socks comes packaged with a great big Stud Muffin horse treat, decorated for the season. You can find Stud Muffins treats, socks, advent calendars, and reward boards at your local tack and feed supplier. Or you can visit their website, studmuffinshorsetreats.com.
Something else happened, too. By the way, I'm going to get some stud muffins today now for my pony. I don't know why he's been so bad, but I love, he loves stud muffins. And I'm taking the afternoon off. I don't care what happens. I don't know what happens in the world today. I don't care what happens to Horse Radio Network. I am taking the afternoon off. I'm out of here. So, so one of the nice things that's happened for me, not for you, but for me, as a result of doing Radiothon on Monday, is we had to bump up the technology. I had consulting calls with other podcasters to bump up the technology. And Jamie, can you just count for me once?
One, two, three.
I can do that now, which I was never able to do in the 6 years we've had this show, is mute Jamie. So now I can mute Jamie again. Aren't you excited?
Am I muted right now?
No, I just took you off.
You're dead. You're dead to me.
I've been waiting for that for 6 years and never could figure it out. But now it's accomplished. I can mute Jamie.
I'm going to call those people you called and figure out how to mute you.
Everybody knows how long I've been waiting to do that. That's a regular listener. Well, we have our first guest on the line. The company is called Glamourals, and we do love highlighting companies that are made in the USA and that produce their products here and do quality manufacturing. Of course, you know, all know that we love products, and we especially love talking about products around the holidays. And I, as a horse husband, especially like finding products that horse husbands can buy for their wives and not get in trouble. And every time we buy something that's not horsey for our wives, then we get in trouble. Well, this accomplishes style, fashion, made in the USA, and it's horsey practical. So it's perfect. And we have Ashley Godwin on with us to tell us all about that. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, these are so cool. I was just on your website. Tell everybody what they are.
Okay, well, they're basically a very warm outfit to slip over your clothing. That they're cute. It all began several years ago. I have a farm in North Georgia, and I would wear men's coveralls because that's all I could find. And I would take kids to horse shows and coach them, and I would think, gosh, there's got to be some cuter ones out there. This, you know, looks terrible. I mean, guys look okay in them, but not a girl. And I started shopping online, couldn't find them anywhere. So that's how it all began. And I thought there's, you know, there must be a demand for this. So found a pattern maker. I mean, it took 18 months to bring them about. So they're lined with thinsulate. So they're not as heavy and bulky as your traditional coverall. Very well made 100% in the USA. And the other thing that I think is kind of neat with them, I'm only 5'1". So it's really hard to find things short enough for my little short legs. So we make them in petite, regular, and tall lengths. So hopefully they fit a variety of folks.
Well, that's perfect because Jamie's only 5'2", and she's always had that problem. Matter of fact, almost all my hosts are like 5'2". So
when I am almost 5'3", thank you very much.
That's funny. Well, I'm 5'1½", actually.
Okay, see?
5'1½", so almost to 5'2". Right.
Don't shortchange yourself.
At what height do you stop counting the half inches, by the way? Is that like 5'5"? Is that where it's
probably legal?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish I knew. So that's kind of the short version of that story, you know, and we've got a variety of colors. And, you know, everybody seems to love their Glamourals. They're very warm. I've sold them up into Canada. I've sold them down in Ocala, Florida. So they kind of work for everybody.
Yeah, Glenn, there you go. Get Jennifer some for Christmas. So you had a vision that coveralls.
60 degrees, I need a sweatshirt.
It's true. It's true. You know, I see that on your website, you said, I had a vision of coveralls meet Vera Bradley. And of course, Glenn doesn't know who Vera Bradley is, but that hit home to me. I like, that's so cute. And so what
did you get it? Yeah.
I got it. I got it. I got my mom Vera Bradley 1 year for Christmas. So that's how I know who that is. Do you have patterns or is it solid colors or like what are the, I mean, obviously they're thinner and they're a little more flattering than the men's Carhartt coverall right. mess. But are there, what colors do they come in? What makes them girly?
Well, and that's the other thing I forgot to mention. They were designed to fit a woman's body because obviously our figure is a little different than a man. So they're made to fit our bodies. I have them. Well, here's the challenge. It's hard to find materials made in the USA, sadly. Hopefully that's going to improve with time, but it limits, you know, a lot. Like a lot of people ask why I don't have camo. So far I have not been able to find a camouflage material to make them out of that's made in the USA.
You
so
think
right now
if there
we
would
have
be
pink.
One thing made in the USA, it would be camo, right?
It would be camo, yeah, but it's, you know, I've learned so much about things on this journey, and it's all about the dollar. If they can save 10 cents, they'll ship it overseas. And I hate that because we need it to be made here. And it provides jobs. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many reasons. I could get on my soapbox forever about that. But anyway, to answer your question, right now we've got pink, brown, black, purple, and then I have a variety of trims that go on the collar and the pockets. I will say I'm selling a ton of them to men right now. You know, the husbands and boyfriends of the world, they're smart. They're ordering their girls some glamouralls to be warm, you know, this winter. And a lot of horse people buy them. A lot of horse people ride in them. I've sold them to a lot of eventers that enjoy riding in them. I've sold them to people who wear them to go to football games because they don't want to sit in the bleachers and freeze.
That's
so such
a great
idea. They work for pretty much anything you do outside.
That's a thing, man.
And they keep you clean.
Yeah, the people that see a need for something, go out and just go for it, girl. That's awesome. I mean, do you still live up in northern Georgia in Lyerly?
Right, yes. My farm is, we're about an hour south of Chattanooga, an hour and a half north of Atlanta. And actually, my farm is for sale. So if anybody's farm shopping, rivermontfarm.com, because we've purchased a little smaller farm down in Ocala, Florida.
Oh,
that's
yay.
The goal. We want to get down there.
Welcome, neighbor.
Yeah, so I'll be coming to Florida. So, I can't wait. But I have a beautiful farm up here. My father and I built it together. We started in 2002, built the house in 2008, and then sadly he passed away of cancer a few years ago. So a lot has changed in my life, and I'm just excited to get down to Florida, but I will miss my farm up here. But I actually have like a fourth bedroom in my home that's like a glamouralls warehouse. So I do everything out of my home. I ship them out. You know, I get the orders online, ship them out of here. So
I love that.
And run my farm.
We did that
yeah.
too. You know, we owned a tack shop back in the 90s and everything was done out of our house. Our basement was a warehouse and all those shipping and boxes were sent out of there. We'd fill a UPS truck out of our basement, you know, so it was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we love small businesses like that that really are trying to make it and then do it right, too. And now these, which is the most popular color? I have to ask you.
Oh, gosh.
Pink?
You know, I would pink and brown. People like the pink and the brown, but the black and the purple I just started last winter. So this is my fifth season selling them. So we're kind of still a baby. But yeah, the pink is really a hit. Now the hardcore horse people like the brown because they don't want the dirt to show up on the pink as much. But I would say those are the two most popular colors.
Yeah. I was thinking pink. I would have to have pink. I mean, what I was going to ask you, because you live up there, it's cold where you are. I know I'm from Georgia. I know where you are, and that's cold. You're kind of getting up to the mountains and everything up there. So you had to have something. But when I lived in Ohio, we rode in coveralls all the time because you freeze to death otherwise. So I would have killed to have some cute coveralls, some glamouralls, and that's awesome that you are you saw something that needed to be done and you did it, girl. It's amazing.
I got a listener question here before we run out of time. I know we want to talk about the other topic too.
I'm dying right now.
The other topic. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, well, the listener question is that this person already has looked and they're right in between sizes. Do you recommend you go up or down?
Go up a size. If in doubt, go up a size. Absolutely. And you can always, I'll always take them back to exchange them. So that's not a problem at all. So, but if in doubt, go up a size.
All right. Good. Good. You know, these, there was another comment made on our listener board. You know, these are a little bit more expensive than you're going to find your card hearts, but they are made here. They're made by a privately owned business. You're hearing her right now. She ships them out of her house. So this is a passion project. This is something that's done with love, and they're going to last, and they're lighter weight. Card hearts, anybody that's worn them, one, they're not flattering to females or males. They're not flattering to anybody, to be honest. Two is they're bulky, they're hard to move around in, and they're cumbersome. And I lived in them when we lived in Pennsylvania, and they're just cumbersome. There's nothing flattering about them. These really look nice.
And that's why I went with the Thinsulate. And the Thinsulate, when I designed them, I was told by different people in the industry, they said, you know, it costs a lot more. And I said, yeah, but the whole point of this is to make them lighter weight and easier to move around in. Because we don't want to look like the kid in A Christmas Story. You know what I'm talking about? Like you can't move your arms and legs and everything. So my cost is a whole lot more. I mean, I'm sure I could get them made in China for a lot less, but I wanted a quality product. And I love the fact that it's given a bunch of ladies. I don't sew. Lord knows I can't do that. But there's a bunch of ladies up in Ohio that's what they do. They sew these things together. So it's providing a paycheck for them too, which I love.
Cool. That is, yeah, that's great. And you're empowering other women. It's great. Now, tell us a little bit about how on earth you came to acquire a full sister to California Chrome. I mean, everybody needs to sit down.
California Chrome. Well, it's really a great story. My fiance Vince and I, of course, were big California Chrome fans in the spring of 2014. And oh gosh, I mean, we were obsessed. And later that summer, he bid on a charity auction for City of Hope, which is, I guess they're all over the nation, but in California, it's Victor Espinosa's charity. They do a lot of things, but it's cancer research, cancer hospital. So he bids on this auction to meet Victor Espinosa and California Chrome at the Breeders' Cup, thinking we didn't have a chance. Well, he's the high bidder and he wins it. So we fly out to California. We meet Victor, we meet Chrome one morning at Clocker's Corner, it's, you know, Santa Anita, and we thought that was the end of it. Well, long story short, one thing leads to another. We meet Steve and Carolyn Coburn, we became good friends with them, and we have remained good friends with them and gone to several of Chrome's races, and, you know, as you know, they dissolved the partnership of DAP earlier in the year,
right.
But we've remained friends. So they got our Sunday surprise in as part of the deal when the partnership dissolved, and they called us and said, would you like to, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but yeah, she Carolyn calls and says, would you be interested in part of this filly, because we want to bring fun back into racing again, and we'd love to have you guys join with us. So there's several partners, it's Vince and I, and then the lady that has Mrs. Pasture's horse Cookies, she and her husband, the Coburn's daughter, and then I think a friend of Steve Coburn, and then of course the Coburns, and so we're all in it together, and it's a blast.
That's so fantastic. It all
started with a charity auction. Isn't that crazy? You just never know where one thing's going to take you to. So and
now you're moving to Ocala. You're going to be having that thing in your backyard.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. So, yeah, we're hoping to maybe kind of start our own little racing team. I don't know. That's a huge dream and a big undertaking, but it's something Vince and I have talked about. And then I have a 15-year-old daughter, Gracie, that she's a horse lover too, so she'll be coming with us. So I'm excited about what the future holds in Ocala, because as our Sunday surprise has proven, you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, right. Life is one crazy adventure.
It sure is. It sure is. And how, let's see, if you're 5'1" and a half, and you have a 15-year-old daughter, she's probably not that much taller than you, which means she can be the exercise rider for our Sunday surprise.
Oh, she would love that. Oh my gosh. She would love that. And Sundays, actually, she's kind of taken a few months off out in California. She's living the good life out in a pasture. And I'm not really, honestly, not sure what the plan is. I don't know if, I think they're hoping to try and race her again in 2017. But, you know, she's only a two-year-old, so they want to give her time to grow.
She
and,
is so cute.
And just enjoy life.
She, I'm looking at the picture.
Oh, she is
and so cute.
She looks a lot like her big brother.
I was going to say, she looks like
your
brother.
You know,
brother,
they look a lot alike.
Without the four white socks.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cool.
And then the Chrome story, something fun. You know, it's just, it's fun to see that normal people like us have a chance in the racing industry because, mm-hmm. you know, I it's a little overwhelming when you look at the amount of money that's in that industry. And it's fun to see just normal people can occasionally, you know, just strike gold with it.
Well, that was what was so exciting and fun about following along with him. For the whole time, we are huge Chrome fans and still continue to be because I love Chrome. I love Victor. And Steve Colburn was so exciting to
oh, he's
watch.
A hoot.
Oh my gosh. He's got to be just hilarious. But I mean, obviously, is he that fun?
Oh yeah. They're great people. We've had a lot of fun. We went to England, you know, thinking we were going to see him race there. And then once we got to England, which I had never, you know, been out of the country. So it was a little scary going over there. Vince learning to drive on what we considered the wrong side of the road and everything, you know, and Steve and Carolyn and their granddaughter were there. But then of course, Chrome didn't get to race, but we've had so much fun with them. You know, they're just really good people. So it's been a blast.
Very, very cool. Well, congratulations to you and your company and your business. And we're going to be watching our Sunday surprise. And when she is, let's see, I don't know, if they get her fit and ready, running sooner rather than later, she could be in the Oaks next spring. So we'll talk to you before the Oaks.
Yeah. And we want to know about what you're wearing.
That would be awesome.
We want to know what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, I sold a pair of Glamoralls to a fella in Ocala that bought a pair for his girlfriend who galloped on the track down there. So if you ever see a little pink streak going down a track in Ocala, that's a Glamoral in person.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So hopefully Glamorals will be relocating to Ocala soon. So,
well, it's glamoralls.com, and you can find it's spelled just like it sounds, glamoralls.com. You can find it there. You're ready to ship them out for the holidays, and you go, and there's an extensive size chart on there too. So you should be, even the guys could probably be able to figure that out clandestinely. And then, you know, you said you'll take them back and exchange them anyway, so that's no big deal. But good luck with it, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Ocala when you get here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Ashley. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Well, we're going from one Georgia girl to a Georgia boy, right? Does this need any introduction again, or what do you want to?
I don't know how it starts. I can't remember,
it doesn't really, but we'll explain why we're doing it. Where you got the interview that led Radiothon, the big interview with Christian Busch, of course, of Sugarland, and an old friend of yours, and it was so cool. A lot of people reacted to how close you two are, and I didn't know that beforehand, before she even booked this interview. But I had to cut half of it because it was Radiothon, and we only had 15 minutes.
Well, Christian and I hadn't talked in a while, and, you know, I mean, he's on tour, he's doing albums, and he's doing all sorts of stuff, and he and I have remained close friends all through his, you know, we have been friends since I was 16, you know, so anyway, I don't talk about it very much, because that sounds weird. You're like, oh, yeah, my friend.
Name dropper.
Like name dropper weirdo, you know, but it has been, gosh, 2 years since he and I have really had a conversation. We text all the time, but sometimes. But so it was kind of like sitting down and talking to somebody. It was weird. It was talking to my friend with Glenn on the phone. That's kind of what it felt like. But we ended up talking for quite some time. Like, I was like, he was like the bouncer, you know?
I had to keep her on track. All right, let's take a listen. This is a full interview. And then we're coming back with another
guest. Then you'll hear how Christian and I are friends. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was pretty.
Yeah, it went into a lot more detail in this one.
Yeah.
Maybe, baby, I see.
the holiday season, and it is the time where we, reconnect, I guess. It's been a couple years since I've talked to our next guest, and just to give you a brief background, Glenn, Christian Bush and I became friends when I was 18 years old. I actually have been stalking him for 2 years prior to that. I got a fake ID so I could go to Billy Pilgrim shows. That was a band he was in, a band called Billy Pilgrim. And Christian had this long blonde hair and these big blue eyes. And he was in a band with this tall, dark, and handsome guy. And I was their number one fan. Excuse me. Went to all the shows I could. And when I became 18, I started working for them selling CDs. And as I got older, genius me, right? Because I'm that girl. Who do I date in the band? The other guy. Who's the other guy? Who's the other guy? Exactly. You don't know. However, the one I didn't date went on to super famous international stardom in a band called Sugarland. And fortunately, that relationship ended and we remained friends. So that's the good thing that came out of it. So we welcome to the show Christian Bush. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
That's been the story of her life, Christian.
I've never really heard her say it out loud in like less than a paragraph. That was great.
I could have gone on, but I figured I'd keep it short. We're, you know, on a time crunch here. You don't have all day.
That's perfect.
Well, fortunately, we did remain friends. And part of my Christmas holidays, every year for Christmas, usually on December 23rd, Christian and I would go Christmas shopping. And
we would.
Yeah. And for some reason, we always on that day, every single year, would go Christmas shopping. And then it got to the point where all of a sudden, I wasn't the only person who was with him. Like, all of a sudden, he's famous. And so we really haven't gone Christmas shopping since you got super famous. You don't need to be mobbed in the mall or whatever. But that's definitely one of my better holiday memories that I have. And I don't even know. I mean, I guess you remember that.
Of course I do. Why don't we keep doing that? Except that, it's kind of hard for me now. But yeah. It doesn't mean we can't like sit in somebody's living room and like tear up the internet and go Christmas shopping online.
Amazon. Amazon.
Exactly. little drunk shopping never hurt anybody.
I know, right? Well, that was some of the best times ever for sure. And I do remember the one time we're in the mall together and we're walking around Lenox Square Mall and you said to me, not to be whatever, but just to let you know, I got my first check from Sugarland and I can pretty much buy anything. Okay. You're super cool now.
It was a weird feeling, you know, like to have a job where you get paid nothing forever and you're doing the same job you were doing the day before and they paid you a check that had more zeros than I've ever seen in my whole life. And, you know, we never took it. Advances. So in the music business, they can either pay you up front or you can wait to see if you win. And if you win, they pay you all of it at the end, you know? And I totally remember that trip shopping.
Yeah, it was very memorable. That's for sure. Well, in the years that we've been friends, what I wanted to know, because this is the Horse Radio Network, I wanted to know if you remember meeting my horse.
I do. And I was really confused because it was inside of a city.
Yeah. So
you were like, here, meet my horse. And I was like, well, but this is your house. You live inside Atlanta, in Metro Atlanta. Why do you have a horse in your house?
She keeps them in the living room still. They're still in the living room.
No, we should have known then what was going to happen to you.
The backstory on that is I was about to move to Kentucky the next morning and Christian had come to say goodbye. And instead of driving way outside the perimeter of Atlanta to go pick up my horse and then drive back in and move to Kentucky, I just went and got him and put him in my backyard, which was the my mom's like pool area. And this guy comes over and you must have thought I was the craziest person on the planet.
Well, I mean, you were definitely unique.
You're so polite. mean, Now, Christian, you are the country Christmas guy. You have written more Christmas songs. And I remember 15 years ago, you put out a Christmas album. Are you still doing that?
Oh, I try to put out as much Christmas music as possible whenever I can do it. You know, I kind of love Christmas music because I'm already kind of a hopeless, romantic, sappy type character. And and with Christmas music, you can even double down on that. Like, you can just go straight from making people cry.
Yes. What is Christmas like for you, by the way? Walk me through your day.
My Christmas is you know, I'm sentimental. So I still have a tree. And I'm not crazy enough to have, like, more than one tree yet. You know, some people do that now. They're like, oh, we got to have a tree that's decorated like this and a tree like that.
In every room.
But yeah, in every room. Now, that's not me, but I bought the house that I live in squarely for the fireplace and squarely so that I could only use it during Christmas. Which, by the way, has anybody else thought how weird that is? Like, you're burning the tree and you're looking at the tree. It's like... It's like eating a chicken and egg biscuit. It's weird. But I love waking up. I make my kids get up and hang out in pajamas and open presents. And then I sleep. It's a mandatory nap in the middle of the day. And, you know, since I've had kids, I stop traveling great distances to see family. I make them travel great distances to see me.
So do you have a favorite holiday Christmas food?
Ooh, my favorite holiday Christmas food. I think it has morphed over time. I used to be, and I don't know if anybody else likes this, but I used to really like that egg custard, which is somewhere between pudding and a milkshake. And it's not really eggnog, but it's a little bit stronger.
Okay, that does sound gross. Is there any alcohol in it? I hope not.
No.
Okay.
But good. You don't need the sugar will get you so high that you don't even know what to do with yourself. So I'm a big fan of that. In the last number of years, I've been sent from Wisconsin the strudels, the Christmas strudels, from a friend of mine, and I didn't think I would like them, but now I do. Now this is like Christmas, like the 500 level class. This is not like, oh, I like the cinnamon rolls or the whatever on Christmas morning. No, this is heavy duty. This is, you get like, you need cold brew coffee to go with it just to stay alive.
That's funny. And do you have a favorite Christmas drink, alcoholic drink?
And song. I want to know his favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, Christmas song. Well, my favorite Christmas drink is probably an old fashioned, but that's pretty much my drink.
Oh my God, are you 80? I don't know anybody that has my parents didn't even drink old fashions. My grandparents did.
You know what? I'm going to help you right now.
Okay.
Because you don't. Yeah, I'm going to help you. What you're going to do is on Christmas Eve, once you're done putting together all the things you need to put together, you are then going to make yourself an old fashioned with one giant ice cube. You're going to sit next to the fire and you're going to look at the Christmas tree and you're going to listen to Nat King Cole, side one of his Christmas record. And you're going to die because you're so happy.
All will be right with your world, Glenn.
That's right. Or I'll be passed out, one or the other.
Now, is it wrong of me to ask, because I'm sure I'm not the only girl, what the hell is an old-fashioned?
Go ahead, explain it to her.
An old-fashioned is a low-ball glass, right? It's a bourbon drink, so it's Kentucky bourbon. I like to drink Woodford.
Good band.
And they have one ice cube in it, and it has a little bit of bitters, and then you have the peel of an orange that you then kind of put a lighter to and get it to burn just a little bit. And then you rub the orange around the rim of the glass and drop the orange in it, the orange peel. And
see,
so
Glenn,
it tastes like bourbon. It's a bourbon drink. It's awesome.
Honest to God, this is something our great-grandparents drank. While
no, but see, this is what
beans.
Happens when you get rich and famous. You have a bartender come into your house and burn orange peels and put them in your drink. That's all I heard was, and then James, make me another old fashioned.
You know, my wife and
I
spent years trying to figure out what the hell are bitters anyway. I mean, we just could never quite figure out what bitters were. I mean, I know what they are, but I didn't know what they were. You know what I mean?
You just buy a bottle of it, right?
You buy a bottle of it. It's like, well, what do they grow on trees? Where do you get bitters? You know, it's like.
Now, Christian, let me move to the country song. Tell our Christmas song. What's your favorite Christmas song? I got to keep Glenn on track here.
My favorite Christmas song, strangely enough, is Frosty the Snowman. I have never recorded Frosty the Snowman. I don't know why, but it is one of my favorite Christmas songs. And that's a really simple, weird answer, but that's the truth. I write a lot of Christmas songs, so and none of them are as good as Frosty. But they you know, they each have their own special charm.
Gotcha. That was not the answer I was expecting, but I'll take it.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Billy Pilgrim did a version of "O Come All Ye Faithful" one time, and I think that one was stuck with me.
Ah, yes. We also did a really great. First Noel.
That's true. Didn't you sing that at like some basketball game or something? I don't know. At Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
We totally did.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. We put out a Christmas record at Sugarland and they gave us a Christmas special and it's still running today. Like I think Jennifer does it again. And I think she did it a couple weeks ago, but, you know, you get obsessed with that kind of, the temperature, you know, Christmas music is always meant to be in the background. It's never meant to be in the foreground. You know, it's what you put on while you're engaging in doing the things you do around Christmas. You don't sit down and go, ooh, listen to this. Right. But what's awesome about Christmas music is that it's the most memorable music ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they were always written in June or July because the writers and the artists had to record them then in order to get them released in October so that they were on the radio or on the shelves to be purchased in December. So it's very interesting to me every time you hear a Christmas song to close your eyes and imagine what swimming pool, you know, these people will decide.
I think I spoke to you one time. I called you or we were talking and you're like, yeah, just writing Christmas music. It's July.
Yeah, it is. And my newest favorite one was the one I did last year. I wrote it with a country singer named Chris Young and a couple other friends of mine. And I had brought in this idea that, you know, sometimes Christmas can be stressful because you have your family around you and maybe you don't always have your family around you. So suddenly they can stress you out completely. And there's a point usually in a family gathering like that where suddenly people just start drinking just to provide a little bit of buffer between each other, you know, and you inevitably slip on the banana peel, you know, and somebody says something they shouldn't or does something they shouldn't do. And it's just the story of every single family. So we wrote that song last year. It's called Thinking About Drinking for Christmas.
And we'll be playing that shortly just for fun.
Yes.
See?
Obviously Sugarland, internationally famous monster country band, and you guys have taken a break. Jennifer had a kid. What's going on with you guys?
Well, Jennifer had a kid and got married again.
Yes.
And I joke that it's sometimes it's like two kids. She did and is raising a family and decided she wanted to go. And as you remember way back when, go back and start singing by herself the way she was when I met her and
right. and kind of auditioned her into Sugarland. She wanted to go take a stab at it again, and she's had a couple of albums of that, and those are kind of coming to a close here pretty soon, I think. And you know, I think it's about time for some more Sugarland music.
We all agree.
All right, well, you heard it here first.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I think that we have two albums left with our record company for sure. So it's just a matter of time. It just depends on when. And, you know, as if anybody out there has family, you know, you got to be very patient with how you decide to manage your time. And as a parent, as a working parent, you know, you got to be careful with that. And I respect it.
Now, you have two gorgeous children. And how old are they?
Way too old. They are 11 and 14.
Oh, my gosh. You have a teenager? That's insane.
Yeah, that I have a teenager is insane. I just, he's a freshman in high school. So I'm having to deal with the reality that he's a freshman in high school. And then he went to his first dance the other day. So I met his date.
How'd that go?
Well, you know, I'm trying to be cool about it. And my ex-wife, his mom, is trying to embarrass him. And, you know, it's a thing. You just gotta adjust to the fact that you have a child that is a teenager. It's just really hard to do. It's like, you know, maybe people who get gray hair, if you see your first gray hair, it must freak you out. This is the same kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are they Sugarland fans? Do they grasp what you have been able to accomplish from, I mean, when I met you, you were playing in smoky dive bars in Decatur, and now, you know, then they see you on this world stage and you're on Jimmy Fallon and whatnot. Were they able to grasp who you were when they were younger?
I don't know. Maybe Tucker did. You know, there was a time where he was old enough, but his friends, you know, were in, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, and they didn't, they knew, but they didn't really know. And occasionally, you know, I'd have him come do things with me, especially when I was going through my divorce where I needed a date. So I'd have him come with me. And one year he came with me to the Christmas party at the White House. And he was my date at a state dinner. So, you know, he kind of collects this information and these pictures and stuff. And he looks back at him and he looks at me and goes, I mean, I remember doing this, Dad, but oh, my gosh, I did this. I'm like, yeah. So I don't know. I think a lot of times what your parents do is just what your parents do. It's not cool. You know, recently, I think my daughter is starting to get a real good taste of it because she's 11. And although, I picked up Tucker from school the other day, and all the little girls who were bouncing around him like little chickens were saying, oh, my God, you're Tucker's dad. You're famous. And I was like, oh, jeepers. This is going to go nowhere.
He's going to start piggybacking off of that. And then all of a sudden he's going to have more dates than he knows what to do with.
Well, it'll be fun when Sugarland kind of pushes back into the mainstream. And I think it'll be interesting to watch them manage it. Neither of them seem to be deeply impressed by what I do. I think they're somewhat annoyed. You know, they're like, oh, Dad, you write another song today? Yeah.
Would you stop playing that guitar? It's annoying.
Oh, my God.
Hey, but you guys want me to pick up the guitar around Christmas? No.
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 No. Yeah, exactly. Anybody want a bedtime song? No.
No, don't sing anymore.
Stop.
Do you know what I did today? No, we don't.
We don't care.
Well, speaking of Christmas, do you have certain things you do every year? Are there special things that you try and accomplish every year at the holidays with the kids or in your life in general?
Yeah, a couple things. Oh, you'll like this, Jamie. So every, pretty much for 15 maybe years straight, I've played a show on the Sunday night after Thanksgiving, because I figure everybody in Atlanta, and I figure everybody's kind of sick of their families by then and kind of needs a way out. And this particular show has always been at the same place in this little songwriters club called Eddie's Attic. And it's expanded into multiple shows over multiple days, but I started on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and my mom passed away, and that's kind of when I was 30, and that's when I kind of decided I was going to do this, because I needed to cheer myself up. I had to get out of this kind of weird, you know, after image of tragedy. And the thing I think you'll like about this year, Jamie, is Andrew's going to come play the Monday morning, the Monday early show with me, and we're going to reunite Billy Pilgrim.
No way. Are you serious?
Totally serious.
And Jamie didn't get a personal invite? I'm amazed.
Yeah. Shocker.
I stay far. You're gonna die.
Have you guys like rehearsed at all, or is this like get up here and let's sing things from 20 years ago?
You know, I don't know if you saw some of it. I think you did, but I was playing a show in Florida, a festival in January, and he wandered up on stage in the middle of one of my songs and started singing it with me.
No way.
Before he'd even said hello, and Rolling Stone picked it up and put it out, and it was pretty crazy to have not talked to somebody for, you know, 15 years or more, and the first thing you do is sing together instead of say hello, you know. That was super cool.
That's probably the most healing way to go about a relationship like that, is to just jump right back into what brought you guys together in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say? I guess you just go in and do it. But that was, you know, it's a testament to people and time, and, you know, you sit around and you wish for things, speaking of Christmas, and you know, just, the one thing that I always do is I kind of wish for the people that I've always known or fallen out of my life or something. Just wish that they're doing okay, you know? Life is a pretty crazy roller coaster. And you just hope that the folks that you know are all right. And then if you had anything left undone or unsaid, you kind of want to wish that to come true too. So, I don't know. I was surprised, and I was pleasantly surprised, and I've, you know, kind of leaned in and said, let's go play a show. Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a little bit speechless. I can't even imagine how fun that must have been for, and how brave he had to be to jump up there and do it, and for you to be so cool about it all. Like, you know, I mean, it's like you started another band and you went on and got super famous. Gosh, that must have been like crazy for him to watch. I can't even imagine.
Did you find that brings up a good question? Did you find when you did start to get some notoriety with Sugarland, did you find friends that you've had for a long time were afraid to talk to you, or did they come out of the woodwork wanting to talk to you then after that?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question. Both things happen. I think the first thing that happens, which is really weird in the music business, and I think you now know it, now that there's been enough seasons of enough talent shows, that just because you're there doesn't mean you're wealthy.
Right.
Right? And
especially today.
especially today.
Yeah.
And it takes so much more work to turn this good fortune into an actual job. So the first thing that happens is you get more famous than you have resources, you know? And so people want to reach out and say, hey, remember me? And you're going to be in my town. I want to come see you and congratulate you. Right.
Yeah.
And you totally want that to happen, especially if it's like, I don't know, one of your friends from high school who treated you like crap, or, you know, like, when you get, if it's a victory lap type of thing, you kind of want it to be there. And then the weird thing, the next thing that happens is people start asking for stuff, like money. And they have very good reasons, but, I just started to learn really quick. There's no such thing as loaning anybody money. You just give it to them.
So did Jamie stop calling you when she got married then? Is that that's what happened? She stopped needing money? Is that what happened?
She stopped asking for money about then.
Yeah.
You better watch your mouth. You know I never asked for a damn thing.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. No,
I think that's why we remained friends.
I think it's good. The strangest part for me, I think, was watching my parents finally become super validated, because, my dad was not really a big fan of me playing music, or my brother. And my mom was a super fan. And she didn't survive long enough. She died when I was 30. To see this band come true. She saw the other bands, right? Mm-hmm. And I always kind of fantasize that she's, pulling strings at somewhere just to be like, hey, I got you. Don't worry. But it was very interesting to watch your family finally look back at their lives of raising you or being your cousins or being your aunt or your uncle and how much they contributed to, keeping you going during probably the most insane, kind of pilgrimage or journey of a dream. Because this dream is impossible. Even for people who are in it, it's impossible.
Well, and I'm sure your family was obviously, I think everybody knows where your family was, with the Bush's beans and all of that. And I'm sure, and they sent you to school expecting you to come out and be a business person, to be a businessman, right?
Well, kind of. It's that, but it's got a little bit weirder twist. When I turned 13, which was 1983, my family sold the business. So my brother and I were the first generation of people with the last name Bush that weren't going to run a cannery. and so they didn't quite know what we were going to do. So they kind of sent us away to school and on a wing and a prayer, And, as the 80s and 90s go, they totally lost all their money, They made different people. They're from the mountains. So, they did their best, but a lot of people stole and took, and they made bad decisions. But regardless, my brother and I both ended up square in the middle of the music industry and with dramatic amounts of both good luck and ambition, So it's still impossible. Even like I'm playing with a couple of artists. I'm playing with Bobby Bones, who's a radio star and a musician, and Jamie Lynn Spears, who is Britney Spears' little sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And can you imagine? She's still struggling. Like, she's playing before me in Florida tonight. And her big sister is Britney frickin' Spears. So, it's all relative. The big dream has everything to do with wanting to do it every night. But whether you catch lightning in a bottle and get a song on the radio or get, in our case, 20 of them, it's the impossible idea, but it's the one you can't give up. You can't stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, just to jump in, Glenn, if you didn't know, if you've ever heard of the band Train,
yep.
Christian's brother, Brandon, was in Train and actually left Train to join Sugarland. So he's been doubly successful, and he was always on stage with you back at Eddie's Attic as well back in the day. So I've kind of watched you guys play together forever. Just a little bit of background. I mean, they're not just square in the music industry. They're both like top of the music industry. It's not like, oh, my brother was in this band.
Yeah. No, it's not Britney Spears' little sister.
No.
he's much better looking than I am. He's got better facial hair and better tattoos. He's just like a 2.0 version. He's just cooler.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on. As long as we've been friends, I've never ever asked to have you on or interview you or even really, you know, kind of talk about you. So it's real special that you agreed to do this, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking this much time out of your day. I mean, Jamie Lynn Spears is waiting for you. Come on.
And then I woke up from my dream. Yeah. well, thank you. And thank you both. And of course, Jamie, anytime, you know, I feel very lucky and grateful to have the life that's happened. And I certainly would love to share my stories anytime you want to hear me yap about them.
All right. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
I love it.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Singing,
bad drinking for Christmas.
What a neat interview. It was fun to listen back to that interview, and it was so personal and so intimate. And, you know, you never hear interviews like that with major stars like he is, with Christian Bush. You don't.
I was just hoping that was interesting to people.
Because it was kind of behind the scenes, because you were such good friends, too. And I did feel kind of like an interloper at times. But he did, you know, he's such a nice guy. Just such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's one of the nicest on the planet for sure. Just if you ever are wondering, it is very, very true. He is an unbelievable person.
Well, that was Christian Bush from Sugarland, and of course has his own music out, and made the announcement with us first that they're looking at getting back together, and we'll see seeing more Sugarland.
I didn't tell him this, but I can tell you this, that, you know, I dated the other guy in Billy Pilgrim, Andrew, who he was talking about getting up on stage with him, and my brothers always called me Yoko Ono because they said I broke up the band because Andrew and I broke up and I stayed friends with Christian. And they're like, you're Yoko Ono. You broke up the band. I'm like, what am I supposed to not be? I'm supposed to not like that guy
anymore.
You're
supposed to stay with him forever if you hate him? What?
Yeah, seriously. So you always have to pick what side you
Chad
know,
is so glad that you did, too, by the way. All right. Speaking of nice guys, we have another nice guy joining us right now. One of the cool things that's happened over the many years now of doing the Horse Radio Network is becoming good friends with a lot of our sponsors. And Tom from Horse Lovers is one of those guys. And also, Tom is the one you have to thank if you're listening right now and got to try out a really cool product for the Stable Scoop show this year and do a review on it, because Tom's the one that got that all set up. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Now,
thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Jamie, how are you? Jen, always a pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Now, you might have heard Tom's dulcet tones during the Monday Radiothon, because they all got together and sang a little chorus, too. You're going to be on there with Sugarland next, up there with Christian Bush singing away.
I don't know. I'm more of a hobbyist than a high-range performer like Mr. Bush there.
Well, you're following up good company today on the show. Tom, you know, you guys have been a great support since we started last year for Radiothon, and I wanted to have you on for a couple reasons. One is to thank you again. It was a lot of fun. We had a great day. We had some amazing guests on. I don't know how much you got to listen to it, but we had some amazing guests on. And I did want to remind everybody that the shows are out, so you can go to horseradionetwork.com and hear all the recorded 12 hours. We separated them all by the hour, so it's easy to listen to. And the voicemail packages you guys sponsored, the listeners came through this year.
Pardon me?
Hope you're still there. Did we
Hello?
Lose him? Oh, did we lose him?
I can hear
Tom,
him.
We can hear you.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
Oh, yeah, can hear you.
You blanked out a little bit. Okay.
Okay. You back? Yeah. I was just saying that
I'm back.
The voicemail packages you guys sponsored this year were amazing. The listeners are so good.
Yes, I know. It was nice to hear so many nice things said about the Horse Radio Network. I mean, you got a great following, and we were just proud to be a part of it.
Well, and it wouldn't happen. The Radiothon wouldn't happen every year without sponsors like you and Weatherbeat, who I know you work with closely. So we really do appreciate
it. Yes, absolutely.
That.
Great, great brand.
Well, one of the things that happened during the Radiothon, there was a auditor room. We have this group of auditors that actually pay to be auditors. It's kind of like a membership group. They have their own Facebook page, and they had a chat going all day long, which had 1,100 comments, by the way. And
wow,
one of the
great
comments we kept getting all day long was, what was that coupon code? What was that coupon code again? So so you're back on here. We're going to tell everybody what all the coupon codes are so we can make it clear. And that way they know to go out and do their shopping, what the coupon codes are for the rest of the season here. So the first coupon code is one that is for actually for a treat from Mrs. Pastures, right?
Absolutely, yes. If you go to horselovers.com, and all you have to do is spend $20, and you get a free holiday stocking with Mrs. Pastures' treats in it. So it's a, you know, it's a great little gift for all your equine friends.
Hold on, check this out. Is this weird that the Mrs. Pastures is what you're talking about, and they were also the same people that part owner and California Chrome sister? Just putting all that together.
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's true. I didn't think
weird
about that earlier in the show.
Right?
Six
that's
degrees,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. So just put radio in the checkout, no matter if they $20 or more, that's it. And then they get the
that's it. Yep.
They get the free treat from Mrs. Pastures. That's terrific.
Simple as that. Yep. When you get to the checkout, just R-A-D-I-O. That's it.
Okay. And then the alternative one is what?
Well, if you spend more than $49 and you put HRN, Horse Radio Network, HRN, when you check out, you're going to get $5 off immediately in your cart. So it's another great way to save at horselovers.com.
Okay, great. So we got those two.
I'm online right now shopping. I'm in trouble because Cyber Monday has been extended. And you will have another hour and a half, it says here. In my time zone. So,
that's for our current deal. But you always want to stay tuned for when that changes over because we've got 50 days of Christmas.
Oh, God, there's more?
I'll tell you the best place to go, and it's kind of neat you set this page up. It's horselovers.com/HRN, and it has all the deals right on one page. It's really cool how you set
that
up.
Yep.
Horselovers.com/HRN, it brings you right to the current deal, which you're right, only has an hour left. But you guys always have, I mean, you go to the homepage of horselovers.com, there's the 50 deals of Christmas, there's the flash sale, there's the Cyber Monday extended. Okay, first of all, we had a business. We were one of the first tack shops online. How do you keep track of all this stuff?
We got a lot of great employees that go out and bargain shop, and we work with suppliers like Weatherby, and we find out what customers want, and we bring them all together, and we work out special deals so that any of the savings that they pass on to horse lovers, we like to pass on to the consumers because time of year. So we want to make sure that, everybody's reaping the benefits of shopping at horselovers.com.
I just found my favorite word of all time right here on the deals. And that word is closeout. Closeout specials. My favorite word, up to 80% off. Oh my gosh, I missed day 7. Dang it. I'm coming back.
See, you got to keep checking every day. You have to go to horselovers.com.
Every day.
/HRN every day. Now, this is also the time of year that I remember very well when we were packing boxes till 3-4 in the morning to get all the orders out. Do they make you stay and pack boxes, or are you too high up in the chain now to have to pack boxes every night?
if boxes need to be packed, everybody's all hands on deck and everybody's out in the warehouse picking, packing, shipping, because it's very, very important that, our customers get everything before the holidays. We don't want them to stress out, so we want them to shop with us and, have the confidence to know that they're going to get it for their loved ones for the holiday.
I had confidence in asking that question because I've worked for some major retailers over the years, and we were down to the president of the company packing boxes at Christmas. Everybody, all hands on deck. So I knew the answer was what that answer was going to be. And you know what? It's the answer you want, because if nobody's needed to pack boxes, that's not a good thing at Christmas. That's not a good thing.
That's not good for anybody.
No. Well, thank you again, and all the listeners who and the auditors actually who got to try out your products this year and do the reviews, certainly do appreciate it. I know that that a lot of them are thanking you right now for what they're wearing or using or still have, and a lot of them loved it. You know, we had mostly good reviews this year. There were a couple interesting ones, but mostly were great reviews. So that just says a lot about the products.
Just so you know, this interview is costing me money, Glenn.
Son of See, every time we have a retailer or somebody on with products, it costs us money. No doubt about it. Now, one thing before we let you go and we wrap up the show today, the sweepstakes thing, is that still going and can people still get involved in that?
Absolutely. So if you visit horselovers.com /sweeps, you can hit our landing page, and basically what we're doing is we're trying to help somebody out. And how are we doing that? We're allowing equine people everywhere to nominate up to 3 people to receive an entire horse and rider makeover. So today I'd like to announce to you that we've already selected the first winner, and the broadcast for RFD TV Equestrian Nation, the first episode is going to air within the next week. So cool. There'll be more details pushed out through you and through our own website and our email list. But the winner of the first one was called the Happy Dog Ranch Foundation, and they're out in Littleton, Colorado. And basically, they're just a nonprofit therapeutic, you know, horse rescue and sanctuary. And so we actually went out. We've already shot the episode, and we presented them with $10,000 worth Whoa. Of products from our sponsors.
Holy cow. That means a lot. So we're really excited. Like
yeah, absolutely. John and awesome. Bernadette were fantastic people. They welcomed us. And, you know, we were able to have some great conversations, understand what they do. And Horse Lovers was just happy to be able to help them out. So everybody just stay tuned, and there'll be more information published. Just look for RFD TV's Equestrian Nation, and we're going to air that episode within the next week. So
I don't know if you remember, Jamie, but the winner of last year they gave it to an individual who got to come to Disney for a week. And she came up here to the studio and they had shipped all the stuff here to the studio. These big cases, boxes full of stuff, and she got to see it here for the first time. So that was very cool. Well, you guys do some amazing things, and you're giving back to the community this year. And I am certain that there are a rescue or two, or whoever the next ones are going to be, that will appreciate what you guys are doing. So Merry Christmas, Tom, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Horselovers.com/HRN. We appreciate the relationship, and have a wonderful holiday.
You too. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Jamie. And you too, Jennifer. Appreciate everything you guys do for us.
All right. Thanks,
Merry
Tom.
Christmas. Thank you.
All right.
Well, that is going to wrap up our show today. What a cool show. What cool interviews we had, meeting some very special people. You know, between Ashley and between Christian, it's been neat hearing your story of your new adventure, which is just beginning, and you're just getting underway. And there's been several listeners commenting about it now. So, you know, best of luck with that, and keep us informed and let us know what's going on.
You'll be the first to know now that I can tell you stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll let you know.
Appreciate it.
Marcus, come here for a second.
All right.
Come here. Yeah. Come here.
I have him say the word of the country. That's so cute.
No. Where is your brother or sister coming from?
Ian and sister from Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Lucas.
Merry Christmas, Glenn.
Thank you, Lucas.
I mean, Glenn.
You got it. Yay. That's the first time he's ever said it right.
Woo-hoo. My kid talks into the microphone. Now you're in trouble.
He's growing.
He's going to be hosting this show.
He's growing. Ethiopia. I love that.
Ethiopia.
That's hard to say.
I know. He works very hard at it.
Is he very? He sounds excited about it too.
Oh my God. It's tempering his excitement. Like, dude, this is going to take a long time. Long time.
Oh,
He'll come inside and be like, I want my brother from Ethiopia now. Like,
I want somebody to play with, please.
Yes. I need a brother. I need a brother. I need a sister. Whatever. Every day it's different which one he wants. But yeah, he's excited. What?
Is that talking?
Yes, I'm talking.
Is that talking makes me go in my room?
Okay, my talking makes him go in his room. As my boy. All right, it's Peter Gelt.
All right, we'll see
everybody.
You guys
are going to shut up. My kid's running away from home.
See you. We'll be back tomorrow with the Draft Horse episode. And then Friday, really bad ads. Get your ads in. Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com.